Welcome back. Here we are another week at Dan's Dabble in Babble. I am officially 1 year older, and it feels interesting. I had a friend this week on my 29th birthday tell me that the 29th birthday was their worst birthday. And I was like, well, gee, thanks for that positive sentiment on this day. And, you know, I was usually I don't feel anything about my age. I mean, listen, I'm in my 20s. I'm a young guy. Like, I am healthy. I don't have to think about my age very often. But I do think that being 29 is just kind of embarrassing. It's like, I am still in my 20s, so, you know, there's all of the baggage that goes along with being in your 20s, still figuring things out, you know, whatever it is. But I'm literally could not be any later in my 20s. And so, you know, I'm joking that this is the last year of my youth, to which, you know, several people have pointed out that my youth is long gone, which I'm not even upset with. You know, your youth has got to go sometime. I'm ready to be an old man in a sweater in the sunshine in St. Petersburg. That is totally my vibe. But, you know, I'm so can't really jive with the people in the young to mid-20s anymore. Feel like I'm beyond that. But I'm also, like, all the 30-year-olds are just looking down on me like I'm still just in my 20s. So it's embarrassing. 29 is objectively an embarrassing age. And I didn't have that realization until I turned 29. I'm like, well, this is embarrassment I have to bear for an entire year. I mean, come on. You know, but legitimately, when people ask me my age, I have to sit there and think about it. Because I mean, it's like, I've been, what, until recently I was 28. What does that even mean? What does being 28 even mean? It's such a weird concept. But I have a running joke with my best friend who was a year younger than me in school, for about 3 months of the year is the same age as me. And I joke with him that I don't talk to him during those 3 months, that he can talk to me again on my birthday, because it's important for me to be the older one in the relationship. And he's quick to point out that we're always the same difference in age. That doesn't change, and he's absolutely correct. But if he says he's 28 and I say I'm 28, what are people going to think? He also looks older than me. So, you know, he's got the upper hand there. I don't even know where I'm going with this tangent, other than to say that I turned 29. And, you know, this was an interesting birthday. Only for that, this is the first time in my life that my parents have not been able to visit me around the time of my birthday, which I am very lucky to be able to say that. You know, when I lived in Milwaukee and in Chicago, that was close enough that they would find some weekend around my birthday to come up. And even last year, there was, I guess they were here in October, and then they were here for Thanksgiving. So they were able to make it. And, you know, my parents have asked if there's a weekend that would work, and I've been so incredibly busy that no, there was not any weekend. And plus, you know, I would feel bad having my parents fly in on a Friday, and then fly out on a Sunday or fly out on a Monday. It just seems like a lot of effort that I didn't need them to make. But I did have a really wonderful birthday. Had a great birthday dinner on my birthday, and did some things with friends on Friday, and was supposed to do something really cool on Saturday, but because of weather, that is being postponed. So I will give more details on that when it happens. Unfortunately, it's not going to be happening next weekend. But hopefully the weekend after that, weather will cooperate and I'll have a cool little story to tell. But in the meantime, All you've got is a 29-year-old podcast host that doesn't have too much to talk about, I guess. But there's always space to fill. So the other thing that happened this weekend is I've got a couple of friends from high school and college. A couple of friends of mine that are married are have a family condo in Kissimmee, Florida. So they came over for the day, and it's interesting. You know, it's always nice to have those people that you can connect with. It's been, I really can't even think of the last time that I've been with these people. It's probably been about a year, probably longer, but it's always great to have those people that you can reconnect with and just have some good time with. So that's where I'm at with that. I'm also, you know, I'm recording this a little bit later than I normally do. And the other struggle that I have is I really need to eat dinner, but I don't know what I want to eat. So that's just letting you know where my mindset is. I'm 29. I'm embarrassed by my age because 29 is an embarrassing age. And I'm trying to figure out what's for dinner. So maybe this is a good time to talk about donuts, because I feel like there's been a lot of donuts in my life. And it sounds like this is going to be a host read ad, which if there are any merchants of donuts out there that would like to advertise, please get in touch with me, which is a good time to remind you something that I keep on forgetting to do. I do have a Twitter. It is, well, maybe I should, you know, have the Twitter handle at the ready when I'm going to bring that up. It is Babbling Dan. If you want to follow me, any advertisers can reach out there. Would love to expand the sponsorships on this podcast, but you know, some very thoughtful folks at various places have given me some donuts lately, and I love a good donut. But you know, this brings me to a conversation that I had earlier this week about the importance of recognizing the time and place for certain sweets. And, you know, I was conditioned that donuts are a breakfast. I mean, yes, donuts are obviously junk food. They're obviously sweets, but it's still a breakfast item. Now, does that mean that you can't have a donut at any time of day? Of course not. Have donuts at all times of day. But donuts are breakfast. So, you know, I, as a child after church on Sundays, would love, my grandparents had a Buick. One of the reasons why I now own a Buick is because I love my grandparents' 95 Buick LeSabre so much. But after church on Sundays, my two brothers would get in the back of the Buick. I would get in the front. This Buick had a bench front seat, so I would sit in the front in between my grandma and grandpa. My parents would head to my grandparents' house. We would head to Square Donuts, a local delicacy where I'm from. So named because the donuts are, you guessed it, square and delicious. And my grandpa had a way at the donut shop of really just kind of conducting a symphony the way that he ordered donuts. And this is something that my brother and I have tried to explain to my dad and other people in the family. But the cousins that have been with that had been with grandpa when he would order the donuts know exactly what we're talking about. He just had a way with getting the donuts from the bakery case to the box to their beautiful old Victorian home. And it was something marvelous to watch. So, you know, I have these wonderful, wonderful associations. I would often be lucky that the donuts would also come with a thing of Prairie Farms chocolate milk, which was just, you know, it was just the absolute best. So, you know, all that is to say is that donuts are certainly breakfast. And donuts are truly incredible, and it is one of those things that, you know, because of that a positive association of, you know, we would go to my grandparents after church and have the donuts, and just hang out with family, basically every Sunday, in what I really considered to be the family home, where of course all of the big family gatherings were, growing up. Just a really cool house, you know, just so having a donut takes me to that place. And I think it's important as I proceed into this topic to really make it clear how I feel about donuts. I am very pro donut. However, if we are going to put a hierarchy and into place of sweets and junk food desserts, which I hesitate to use the phrase dessert, because again, I don't consider a donut to be dessert. I consider a donut to be a breakfast item. But the king of all kings when it comes to desserts is cake. Clearly it's cake. And millennials get a lot of, I think, unfair criticism. But sometimes millennials just go too far. I mean, you talk about, well, never mind. I don't even want to go down that road. But, you know, there's part of it is the Instagram wannabe influencer culture of everything has to be cute and picturesque. And, you know, I'm all for a lovable aesthetic. I mean, by all means, take your aesthetics and let it sing, do whatever you want to do. And I mean, ultimately, something that I love about Instagram specifically is I feel like Instagram is very easy to tailor and cultivate that. Like if you want to see specific type of content, it's not the place where, people are, kind of making it the street corner and shouting about politics and random news articles and sharing disinformation. To some extent, parts of Instagram have become that, which is really unfortunate, but I do think it's easier to maintain that, you know, I'm just here to scroll through and look at what's going on, what my friends are posting, you know? So just scrolling through, here's a painting that a friend of mine thought was cool. And then my friend Lauren went to a pumpkin patch. My friend Jennifer was at a very picturesque river. I have another friend, Grant, seems to have gone golfing. So, you know, one thing that I did do and I have done, as of lately, is I have removed any sort of, not any sort, but by and large, I have removed celebrities' Instagrams from my feed, because it's like, at the end of the day, I was like, why do I care about, I mean, I don't even know who a celebrity that I followed was. Okay, I just saw a post by Enrique Iglesias. I do still follow Enrique Iglesias because I have a soul. But by and large, I've removed the celebrity influence from my Instagram as well, because it's like, I'm here for mindless, just nice pictures to look at here and there. But all of that has led to a millennial culture of wanting to do things differently and unique. And, you know, march to the beat of your own drum. That's beautiful. I think that's admirable. But also understand that there are certain traditions and there's certain mores, certain cultural values that if we want to live in a society, we have to respect. And one of those is the presence of cake at certain functions. So I am very lucky to have had multiple cake offerings throughout this past week for my birthday. But the cake is really king at a wedding. And you know, there are lots of incredible feelings about this. And you know, one show that I really cannot sink my teeth into, but we'll watch an episode every now and then, is a show on Netflix called Marriage or Mortgage. And it is this ridiculous premise that there's a couple that has a set amount of down set amount of money, and they can either use this as a down payment on their house or to throw the wedding of their dreams. And when you're talking $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 for throwing a wedding, I mean, like, if you have the money and you want to spend it that way, by all means, do what makes you happy. But if you are talking about a true investment in real estate versus spending $40,000 on a wedding, I marvel at the cost, and I just think there are so many ways that you can throw a wedding and have it be a really nice wedding for such a lower price. Now, I will say that I have not been married. I have not thrown a wedding, but I do know what my cousins have spent, what my brother spent, what some friends have spent. And it's a significant expense, but it does not have to, you know, you don't have to quite literally mortgage your future to have a nice wedding. But you know, the in an episode I watched recently, this couple goes in, and you know, I think I actually didn't make it through the episode, so I can't tell you if they chose marriage or mortgage. But the other thing about this show is most of the episodes were shot leading up to the first COVID lockdown, March of 2020. So all of these couples that ended up picking marriage still spent this insane amount of money on their wedding, but then had to have a significantly reduced guest list. And it's just really, I think, puts that entire question into a whole new light of this idea of marriage or mortgage. But this bride, I believe, may have been the groom, now that I'm really thinking about it. One of the two was like, if we're gonna have a wedding, it's really important to have a tiered wedding cake. And I think that is great. I love a good tiered wedding cake. I think the aesthetics of a wedding cake, certainly, if that's important to you, certainly, I think there's like th there's something about having a great wedding cake. And I mean, I think the idea of a tiered cake in general is so majestic. And if you're not going to have a tiered cake at your wedding, then when are you going to have a tiered cake? And I guess the real question then is, why don't we have tiered cakes for everything? And I mean, the answer to that is because, holy moly, the tiered cake itself was like $2,500, up to $4,000, depending on how many tiers and all of that. And it's like, you know, just get a smaller presentation cake. And then for what you actually serve people, obviously you just get sheet cake. I mean, come on, you gotta focus on the flavor and just slice it up in the back. It doesn't matter. And you know, they had this great suggestion of, you know, having the presentation cake and then kind of wheeling it back into the depths of the kitchen and cutting up the sheet cake, and your guests would be none the wiser. And listen, as a guest, if you are giving me a slice of cake, if you are giving me a slice of cake, if you are giving me a slice of cake, then I am happy and I'm thrilled, and you may carry on with your event. If you're trying to give me some sort of alternative dessert, then I am sorry, you have misunderstood. The entire point of getting married is to serve guests, but me specifically, delicious, delicious cake. So I do love the concept of a tiered wedding cake, but the point is that this couple at least recognized how important it was to have a cake at the wedding, because I really think that there is a war on cake in this country, and I don't understand where it's coming from. And people come at me with, oh, but cupcakes are so more practical. And listen, at least a cupcake is still in the realm of cake, but there's something different about the texture and the flavor when you're baking a cupcake in these individual cups versus having an actual cake. But if you're coming at me with cupcakes, at least it's still, the essence of cake is still there. So I will allow it if that is what you have to do to have cake at your wedding. What I have no patience for is this trend of donut walls. And, you know, I just officiated my best friend's wedding, and, you know, the bride told me that she wanted to dance and be able to have a donut in her wedding dress while she danced at her wedding. And I said, that is great. And if that is important to you, then by all means, get some donuts. But there is nothing that prevents you from having donuts and a wedding cake. This is something that I'm really passionate about. And I don't know if it's the best content, but know that I feel very strongly. And this is not an isolated occurrence. And this idea clearly was not an original idea. In May of 2019, a great friend of mine got married, and they had a donut wall instead of wedding cake. And this has clearly been a trend, and wedding planners and millennials are all on board with being cute. But, you know, there's being cute, but eventually, millennials, we have to grow up and understand that we are going to be the arbiters of class. And if we, again, want to live in a society, if we want to have nice things, then we need to take responsibility for those nice things. And a donut wall is not a bad thing, but it's not a nice thing. You know, there's something to be said to, you know, okay, if you want to be a child and have a donut wall and be cutesy-cutesy at your wedding, that's one thing. But there's something to be said to throw a really classy wedding. I mean, I'm talking, you know, the ideal would be to the top tier of a classy event is a plated meal. And I've been to some wonderful weddings where the food was exquisite, had a great plated meal. Now, I also recognize that it is much more expensive to do it that way, and there is nothing, in my view, there is nothing wrong with a buffet at a wedding. I think a nice catered buffet is wonderful. Can still be class. But if your goal is class, then you're going to want to go for the plated wedding and or the plated meal at the wedding. And then the other thing that you should do is you should serve cake. But let me have you as an audience ponder this question. Is what should happen after cake at a classy event? Now, hopefully you guys have taste and have realized that the right answer is that what should follow cake is clearly coffee. Hot black coffee, waiters coming around with nice little carafes and saying, can I offer anybody at the table coffee? And you can quickly discern those at your table who have taste and have class by the ones that will politely acquiesce to the coffee. And if there's anybody at your table that has the audacity to turn down coffee after cake, well, those are the type of people that would have a donut wall at their wedding. And those types of people, my friends, we have no time for. This has been Dan's Dabble and Babble. Please follow me on Twitter @BabblingDan, and I will see you next week.